Hello there, and we are glad you could join us for our Anchored podcast episode today. I'm Kaylin Goebel of the Military Families Learning Network Family Development Team. 4 years ago, our MFLNFD team created this podcast as a space to discuss and learn about timely topics and challenges military families are facing. In each episode, we've had conversations especially relevant to service providers working daily with military families and within our military communities. We know that anchors throughout history have been a symbol of stability and groundedness. It is our hope that each episode has provided you with a bit of respite to think about how the topics discussed in our conversations can influence, improve, and strengthen both your professional and personal growth. So we invite you to sit back, relax, and get anchored with us today as we are joined again by a friend from Sesame Street and Communities team. And this time, we are joined to celebrate 15 years and counting of Sesame Street for our military families. In this episode, my MFLNFD colleague, Jason Jowers, is joined by Tara Wright for a conversation on the evolution of Sesame Street for military families over the last 15 years, or for SS4MS 15-year celebrations. Tara also discusses a brand new resource that they have recently released focusing on the needs of our military community today, a resource suite created for those impacted by temporary duty assignment. This podcast is also just a piece of our continued collaboration with our Sesame Street and Communities friends. For more information on other MFLN programming with Sesame Street, you can visit our collaboration homepage at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/sesame-street. In their conversation, Tara and Jason both mentioned some of our previous webinars and other programming that the MFLN teams have worked closely with Sesame Street and Communities on, and all of those can be found on that homepage as well. And any of the resources mentioned in today's conversation will be found on the podcast page, so we highly encourage you to visit our MFLN website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/series/MFLN-family-development-anchored if you have not already done so or found the episode that way. So to officially kick off today's conversation, here are Tara Wright and Jason Jowers.
Hi there. So today in this Anchored podcast episode, we will be talking about the 15-year anniversary of Sesame Street for Military Families, a fantastic organization within the Sesame Workshop, and one that MFLN and our family development team have had a great long-running relationship with over these past several years. We will also be sharing Sesame Street for Military Families' newest initiative focused on temporary duty assignments for military service members and how it affects military families and military kids. With that, I want to introduce our guest today, Tara Wright. Tara has joined us and our MFLN Early Intervention Team for a past webinar called Engaged and Extraordinary, Supporting Young Children with Autism and Other Developmental Disabilities. This webinar was part of our Kids Serve 2 series, which highlighted a slew of resources within Sesame Street for military families. The Engaged and Extraordinary webinar focused on sharing Sesame Street initiatives and resources geared towards helping early childhood professionals who work with families to strengthen the skills of young children with autism and other developmental disabilities and build resilience and optimism. Hi, Tara. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So if you don't mind, can you tell us a little more about yourself and how you got involved with the Sesame Street team?
Sure. Well, to start with some personal tidbits, I am a native of Oklahoma. I have two little boys, one who's almost 3 and one who's almost 6 months. I'm also a military spouse. My husband is an officer in the Marine Corps Reserves, and that makes working for Sesame Street for Military Families especially rewarding. I did join the U.S. Social Impact team at Sesame Workshop in 2016, and I've actually had a few different roles on the team, but for the most part, I've been helping to create content for young children and families and providers who care for them. And now, just as of a couple months ago, I officially joined the SS4MF team, so I'll be creating content for military families.
Awesome. And so you said you're a MIL spouse. Do you mind telling us a little bit of your experience, like where's your husband stationed, like that kind of thing?
Sure. So he's a reserve officer, and his unit is up in New Hampshire, which makes the monthly drill trips a little bit interesting. He has to travel a couple extra days. So that's interesting to navigate those changes in routines for our little family. But he joined in 2019. We were stationed for a little bit in Quantico, Virginia, where he did training. And yeah, so he works full time, but also does his reserve duty as well.
Yeah. And I guess this is kind of pertinent to what we're talking about today, like getting into these resources for like the temporary duty assignments. It sounds like you and your family kind of have hands-on, you know, lived experience.
Absolutely. And when we talk about the resources later, I definitely have a favorite and felt like I got to weigh in on a personal level when we were creating these, just to kind of round out the materials, especially about, you know, when spouses come back from their temporary duty sometimes, or their reserve duty, sometimes that's sort of the hardest part of the whole thing, you know, just readjusting to everybody being back together and catching up on what we've missed out on while we were apart. So yeah, I can definitely relate. And those strategies that we come up with at Sesame Workshop are helpful to my family as well, for sure.
Yeah. So as far as like Sesame Street for military families as a whole, like we've talked about it in some of our other webinars, what are some of the topic areas that you guys specifically focus on?
Yeah, we have so many topics. I am happy to go through, you know, the history and the timeline of Sesame Street for military families. But right now we have a variety of topics really to help military families at every point along their journey. And of course, we're always looking for new ways to support military families. But we've got those big topic areas like deployments, homecomings, big changes. We've got resources around grief, so loss of someone close to you. We also have, you know, more playful things like birthday celebrations and just general routines. We have resources to help navigate that transition from military to civilian life. And of course, moving. So military families are always on the go, it seems. So lots of moving resources as well. Those are a few of the topics. And we aim to support young children and families, of course, but we also have resources specifically for providers who might be working with military families as well. So the website is sort of set up so that you can go through if you're a parent working with your child or a provider. There's some special resources, especially for providers too.
Right. And that for the MFLN, for the most part, that's like our primary audience is the professionals working with families. But when we do get families and, you know, all coming in and taking part in our resources, I think it's really great that y'all integrate that piece of it's not necessarily just for, you know, parents or caregivers to utilize this stuff, but it's people actually working, you know, professionals working in the field, working on bases, you know, around the world that can pull this into their therapy or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really crucial that, especially with a population like military families, they're so transient and, you know, there's just a lot of opportunity for them to maybe fall through the cracks. And so the more providers that we have on board who know about these resources, know how to utilize them, the better, because they're able to really catch these families and make sure they're connected and have the resources that they need when they need them, because they know, you know, especially for a new military family, it might be kind of hard to navigate all the acronyms, for instance, or, you know, just who they need to be in touch with and what support is available for their family. So for Sesame Street to be one of the tools in the toolbox for providers working with military families is just really, really important to us.
Yeah, and I'm glad you spoke on that piece of military families are always kind of on the move. You know, you know, with civilian, quote unquote, civilian families, they get set up in some type of services or therapy, and they typically see that same therapist or, you know, in same town they're living in, that kind of thing. But with military families, you know, you never really know when that permanent change of station or, you know, something like that deployment's going to happen, or having to move to a new base or different place on the globe, out of, you know, moving out of the country, and to basically have resources in place where that continued care doesn't get interrupted.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you actually brought that up. That's one of the topics that I kind of failed to mention. Is one of our newer topics is also transitions in healthcare, is one of the latest things we've launched. And it's for that problem in particular. You know, we're, as military families, we're moving to new locations and having to also find a new healthcare home, a home base. So finding dentists and doctors and therapists, especially if our kids have special needs or something like that, just making sure we're really covered before we move to the new location, or, you know, helping sort of ease that transition as well. So that's a, just wanted to flag that that's a new topic that we also have.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely be able to try and share that with our listeners in the resources page for this podcast episode. So so let's get right into it. Let's talk about this 15-year anniversary for Sesame Street for Military Families. That's a pretty big milestone. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very exciting. I know the whole team is really exciting. And we recently had our kickoff year with DOD, who's one of our funding partners. Mm-hmm. And such a big player in these resources. And we had our next year kickoff. We're working together, and we spent some time just reflecting on some of the happy memories and the milestones throughout these 15 years. But this is just such a pillar project for the U.S. Social Impact Department. It's one of our key initiatives and one that's just so meaningful to us. And we love how it keeps developing and how engaged this community is. These military families are really engaged with the work, and it's just been such a meaningful and fruitful project over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, since we've been working with you guys, I think it's been 3 or 4 years now that we've been collaborating with Sesame Street for Military Families, and it's ever changing. We just did our webinar on racial justice initiative. So it's something new all the time. It's really like evolving with the times, as well as like getting people the content they need and tackling those tough issues that are popping up in the news or that people are aware of. And I really think that's an important place, especially for organizations like Sesame Street. That's like, it's such a well-known name. Everybody knows Sesame Street. And for you guys to be like providing these resources for young kids to cope and build resilience is amazing.
Yeah, I think one thing that has made this project last so long is that we do recognize the needs of military families as they evolve. You know, the project really started in the early 2000s, and the needs of the community back then were really different than they are now. You know, some of the needs are the same, and the challenges of military families do remain the same when it comes to moving and transitions and, you know, changing routines. But when we started with Talk, Listen, Connect way back in the day, we really focused on deployments and homecomings and sort of big changes. We were having these very long-term deployments. And really now, more of that temporary duty is sort of what families are facing, and things that they do hear in the news and the challenges that families are facing from now to back then are just different. And I think that what makes this project special and what makes our approach really special is that we are constantly in communication with military families and with experts, those who are on the ground working with these families, and we rely on them to guide us in our work. And we try to listen attentively so that we're able to meet families where they are with timely information and timely resources that can really help them have challenging conversations with their young children or just really meet the needs as we see them.
Absolutely. I just wanted to ask, I know you said y'all kind of like collaborated with the DOD or had a DOD partnership. Is that kind of how Sesame Street for Military Families got started? Like, was it more so of like a DOD initiative type thing, or was it something that, it was something that Sesame Street as a whole, the Sesame Workshop, was pushing for?
That's a good question. And I'd have to double check sort of chicken or the egg there. But I do know that It was created in sort of a post 9/11 environment, and we really created it in a response to the fact that there were, you know, so many military children under five. I think there were 700,000 military children under five at that time. And it was one of the largest and longest deployments since World War II. And there weren't really any resources for young children and virtually nothing in Spanish. So I know that that was sort of the environment in which Sesame Street for Military Families was started and created. It was in response to that challenge. And I do know at that time that DOD and other military partners were crucial at that time as well. So I'd have to double check with the team on the true origin stories of that, but it was definitely in that context. So I know that the DOD was crucial in implementation and, you know, finding the connections that we needed to reach military families.
Yeah, I was just curious just to see kind of the roots of where it got started. And I mean, to be 15 years later, that's a pretty awesome achievement and a testament.
Thank you.
Going back to kind of the topics that Sesame Street for Military Families covers, I know you said you guys talk with military families and professionals on the ground, but how do y'all determine these topics? Like, how do y'all say we want to create an initiative on this specific temporary duty assignment? How do we know we want to create a specific suite of resources?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, again, listening to our advisors is really important. Listening to families. We do have a very active Facebook group, Facebook page. And so we hear things directly from families. We do a lot of formative research as well. And so we learn through that research what families are facing. And it really comes down to, you know, collaborating with our partners, with our funders as well, to what do we see repeatedly that's sort of popping up. And we just do what we can to address those needs when the time seems right. So there's no cut and dry formula for how these things get chosen. There is some level of gut instinct of, I think this is the right time to address this topic. And it really does seem sometimes like the stars align for certain things. So again, just really listening to what people are telling us. And it seems like those things that sort of come up over and over again, it says, okay, this is the time to do that.
Is that something that comes, I guess, specifically from Sesame Street for Military Families? Or is that something like the Sesame Workshop as a whole? Because I know with each initiative that comes out, you guys have a story with your Muppets, your characters, to basically explain these issues and topics to kids. I was just curious how that intersects with the TV show.
Yes. So Sesame Workshop and the U.S. Social Impact Department as a whole, we sort of follow a way that we create content, which we, you know, listen to the needs on the ground as we hear them, and we try to gather as many perspectives as possible on that topic. So again, we'll convene some advisors, we'll do some research and gather input from families. And we'll try to take away some key messages and strategies for a particular topic. And we'll kind of sesamatize that. And you're right, you know, often our characters' storylines will change to more accurately model what we feel that kids and families need to relate to. So one example is Elmo is really one Muppet who's been able to model for Sesame Street for Military Families. And it's this initiative has really impacted his storyline, so to speak. And so it's kind of a back and forth. You know, Elmo has his character bio. His family members have their character bio when the Muppets are created, of course. But because families need these Muppets to kind of look like them and have the same experiences, just, I guess, to be relatable, we are able to change their storylines from time to time. So, for example, when Sesame Street for Military Families first launched 15 years ago, Elmo and Louie is Elmo's dad. They were, you know, key characters to this initiative. And what we said at that time for Louie was that he had to go far away for work, but we left it very vague. Mm-hmm. And so not too many changes, you know, in the behind the scenes, there weren't too many changes to his character bio. You know, we didn't have to make any big changes, but he was able to relate to many branches of the military. So we didn't specify that he was a specific branch of the military because the need at that time, post 9/11, was just so great. We wanted them to be relatable to any family. And what we did to sort of represent different branches of the military at that time was really to invite people. So the people and the children that were in the documentary, in the videos, they were the ones to represent the specific branches of the military. But at that time, it was just really important that Elmo and his family were sort of general so that many families could relate to what they were going through. So that was back 15 years ago. Well, fast forward to today, like we said, the changes of military families, the challenges are a little bit different. And so we recently designated Louis to be a member of the National Guard because in a way that's somewhat more relatable to military families now. You know, we don't have at this time, you know, these multiple long repetitive deployments. It's a sort of a different landscape at this moment. So we were able to designate him as a member of the National Guard because, you know, if you look at how involved he is on Sesame Street, he's there for Elmo's activities. He's there for the day-to-day life. So, you know, at some point, their storylines do have to get filled in with those specifics just for it to all make sense. So we designated him because he was, it was kind of getting limited to what actually his role in the military could be. So National Guard seemed like a good fit and a realistic fit for the type of role that he has in Elmo's life and, you know, his relative consistency. But now we're able to also just highlight a special branch of the military, which is great. Another example of that is Rosita and her family. So, you know, after our initial talk, listen, connect, we talked about deployments and homecomings. We felt like maybe it would be too much for Elmo to undergo injuries as well. So injuries was a topic we wanted to cover. We wanted to have a Muppet who could help families relate. And Rosita had been there from the beginning as Elmo's friend in the military resources. And so we were able to build out her family's story so that her father had an injury and they were able to model that. And they have actually become a key family for our military caregiving resources, which are available also on Sesame Street and communities.org. So it is really fascinating to see how the characters' storylines do evolve with the community that we serve as well.
Yeah, I really like the term you use was sesamatized, by the way. That's a new one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Like that, like you said, you evolve the Muppet storylines to fit these topics that, you know, it can get across to families and young kids in a way that I feel like a lot of other mediums can't necessarily connect with kids. Sesame Street's kind of always been there and kind of the masters at connecting with the young kids. So we're primarily talking about the new suite of resources, which is about temporary duty assignments. You already talked about Elmo and his dad and their journey. Can you tell us, you know, exactly what temporary duty means? Why is it important to support families of military service members during times of temporary duty assignments?
So temporary duty, it differs from a regular deployment in that they're often shorter in duration. So they could be a few days to several months. You might think of like a National Guard. If there's an incident that comes up and the National Guard gets deployed, it could be, you know, over a weekend to help out, or it could be a longer term stint, but it's not as long as a deployment. And it's often also with shorter notice. So families might not have very much time to adjust to the coming change before the service member needs to leave. So I think those are the key differences between deployments and temporary duty. So it's not really where the family gets a lot of notice, and the homecoming might not be what we kind of typically think of a homecoming from a deployment either. It might just be more of a routine. Routine is probably not the right word, but not as celebratory perhaps, because it's a shorter term and it's a quicker thing. So that's the difference between temporary duty and regular deployments. And it's really important, you know, we found that the strategies and the messages that children and families need during this time are similar to deployments, but they're not quite the same. Mm-hmm. And especially we found that actually parents who were experiencing temporary duty were actually visiting our deployments page and finding things that were helpful, but the videos weren't really reflective of their actual experience. And so we needed to just kind of tweak some things and make some videos that were a little bit more relatable in this area. So the new resources really offer language and tools that parents can use or caregivers can use to explain temporary duty to little ones. There's a lot of expressing big feelings and offering reassurance that they can stay connected even when they're apart, which is also a difference sometimes between temporary duty and deployments, is that, you know, parents might be able to communicate a little bit more often while they're away. So some creative ways to stay connected. And then how to reincorporate into the routine once that parent is back from temporary duty. So those are kind of the highlights of the resources.
So you were just talking about like kind of the resources, some things to look at, the like staying in touch during temporary duty assignments and all that. Can you tell us more about what these new resources look like within this initiative? Like what can people expect when they hop on the Sesame Street for Military Families website? Like what's kind of the first things they come across?
Sure. So when you visit SesameStreetForMilitaryFamilies.org and you visit the temporary duty page on the website, you'll see three new videos. One is for getting ready. The next is for staying in touch. And then the third is for coming back. Mm-hmm. And to accompany those videos, there are three articles for parents or for grownups with even more tips and strategies for what to talk about with your young children, how to have those conversations, some ways to stay connected while the family is apart, and then things to keep in mind, of course, when everybody gets back together. And so there's videos, there's articles, and there are also some downloadable PDFs or some printables. We like to call them printables. They sort of all go together. So it's a package deal. So you could watch the video, you could read the article, you could do the printable activity together to really reinforce the key messages and the key strategies and practice those together. So that's kind of what to expect. And as a provider, I know that, you know, providers are our main audience here. I think it can be really helpful to go through this three-step process that we outline for using all our resources on the website. Watch, ask, and share. So, you know, watch the videos on your own before you share them with families and ask yourself, what's a way that I can incorporate these strategies, these messages into my work with families, and then share the resources, right? So watch the videos together with families. You could print out the articles for them and highlight key strategies that you know this particular family might be struggling with, or that you really just want them to try for 1 week at a time to kind of get them through, or just hand out the printable activities, have them available in your office if you don't have one-on-one time with each family. So watch, ask, share is what we always recommend for providers when they're working through the website. But for parents, for families, they can watch the videos together. Parents can read the articles to get some more strategies. And then the printables are really ways that they can practice and really talk about the strategies and the key messages from the resources.
Right. We've definitely had feedback on other podcast episodes and even during some of our webinars that talk about being able to use the printables specifically, like the activities with kids and families during therapy sessions. It's a good way to open up and connect where, you know, in therapy, it seems like it's kind of hard to get children to talk and to be open and all that. But if you have an activity or something for them to do, it's a good icebreaker, a good way to get them to interact. It's a little bit more hands-on.
Absolutely. And I will say that the printables in this topic are a little bit more detailed. There's one that's helping. I think it would be really good as a conversation starter, like you mentioned, because it highlights some questions that kids might have. So when will daddy or mommy be back? What does TDY mean? Why can't I go with them? You know, all those big questions that children can have. It gives some short answers for parents to try, but I could see this being something that a provider and a parent could work through together. You know, the provider could help a parent think through these questions and formulate answers that they're comfortable with and really practice them, because as a parent, getting caught in the moment with one of those tough questions can just be the most heartbreaking thing. You know, my son is getting to the age where he understands that his papa is gone for a few days, and he'll say, I miss papa. And that's, you know, as a first time parent, that can be really jarring. So I could definitely see providers using this as a tool to just prepare parents when these things come up. It's okay. Here's what you can say. Let's practice together. And it'll make it easier for when your child really pops these big questions.
Yeah, you're right. Because kids don't necessarily like build up to anything like that. They'll just say something or ask a question, and then you're immediately like called on the spot. So yeah, any kind of preparation would definitely help. So as far as temporary duty assignments go, and, you know, a parent being out of the household, yeah, it's very similar to like more long-term deployments, but they're, you know, could be in the house a little more consistently around. But what's the significance? I know we've talked about kind of the resources and everything, but what's the significance caregivers and providers can play for children during these times of transitions? Say it's still temporary duty, but maybe there is a relocation that's involved or a big move. What's a way that providers can fill in the gaps?
Well, you know, I think that in time of big changes or even small changes, whether that's a move or just, you know, a new day, I think regardless, caregivers and adults in children's lives, they really mean security. They mean love and safety for kids. So, you know, when a caregiver is away, it can feel like a significant change to a little one. So even if it's only temporary, even if it's only a few days, they could, you know, that parent could be missing. For example, like in the videos that we have, Louis is missing Elmo's first t-ball game. So even a few days away can mean, you know, a significant loss. You know, that's a time that they'll never get to recreate or have again. So it can feel big, even if it's, you know, in the big scheme of things, not that long.
Right.
So I think for the caregiver who remains, obviously, there needs to be a lot of reassurance given to the child. There needs to be the reassurance that the child is loved, that they're safe and cared for, and that their feelings are okay. So, you know, if your child is sad, feels lonely, frustrated, or mad. I know that my son definitely gets kind of mad a couple of days in when his dad is not around. Just letting them know that those feelings are okay and that the big feelings can come and go. Like, it's okay to also have fun when the other parent isn't around. You know, it's complicated for little kids. So I think that the key things for, especially for the caregiver who remains, is that they offer lots of reassurance, lots of consistency as much as they can. So consistency in routines, even if the routines are different because the other caregiver is gone. Like in our house, we have a, you know, a drill weekend routine. It looks different than when my husband is here. So the routines can be different, but they're still routines and there's still things to look forward to. So that remaining caregiver definitely plays a critical role, helping kids understand that everything's okay. They're okay, and their feelings are okay, and they're safe, even if things are different. And I think for the caregiver who's away, there's a role for that caregiver to provide extra reassurance or take care to really make the most of the time that they do have together. You can't really fill in, you know, what you've missed, but just to be excited for the child while they're away. And I know one thing that helps us is that, you know, we document, and this is actually one of the strategies in the videos, you know, Elmo and his mom, they keep track of things that Elmo has accomplished or done while the other parent is away. And Louis does the same thing. And they're able to swap these stories and they're able to catch each other up on what's been going on and what they've learned. And I think it can be a really helpful thing when the parent who does have to leave is just really excited for the child or encouraging for the child. Even though I had to go away, I'm still invested in you. I still care about what you've been up to while I was away. And I wanted to be there. And I'm just really proud of you. I think that those are some key messages that the caregiver who does need to go away can keep in mind and offer. Because I really think the big picture of this is that we want families to feel strong and united, even when they're apart. I think love, safety, security, and togetherness are really the key things for caregivers to remember.
Absolutely. Thank you. You painted a beautiful picture there of what it can look like. You know, real life families are living through these types of transitions. And I think one of the big things you pointed out was just establishing routines and maintaining those routines. Like that's something we hear time and time again from participants in all of our programming, you know, is the importance of maintaining routines with kids. And yeah, being excited for them, even though you missed out on something, you can still like share in that when they come back and give those kids all the love and support.
And it's easier said than done, for sure. Right. All of this is easier said than done. But just having these ideas and strategies sort of top of mind before you're going into a big change like this can help be more intentional and act on it. And it does take practice. I mean, I'm a little bit thankful, you know, that my husband's a reservist because we get to practice this every month. So some drill weekends are better than others. And that's just how it is. And that, I think that's okay and important for providers, especially to iterate to families that, you know, it's not going to be perfect and that's okay too.
Yeah. You're going to have good weekends where everything's fine. And then you're going to have bad weekends where, you know, you come back and the house is on fire. Yeah. And just being able to roll with the punches through that is something you can only experience, but if you have all of these resources and tools in your back pocket, then maybe both parents can get through this, those times. I wanted to ask you, are there any case stories or feedback that you or, you know, anybody on your team has gotten from, you know, like military service providers that are utilizing these resources or families even?
You know, unfortunately, I don't have any specific stories for the temporary duty resources. And I wanted to reach out to our research team to see if we had any insights from our research that we recently did. But I do know that our Facebook group is really active and I hear stories all the time of, you know, it seems like the main thing is that the specific resources can be helpful, of course. And I think the strategies are useful, but I think the biggest thing that I've seen is that by creating all the resources, by having the Sesame Street for Military Families initiative, it really helps military families feel seen and understood and respected. You know, that we're really taking their experiences into consideration. And I think, you know, for providers listening and for parents as well, that goes a long way. So just acknowledging that military families do have specific challenges and that they have particular strengths, right? They are flexible, they are resourceful, they are strong, and they have a knack for creating community wherever they are. Just acknowledging those things when we're talking with them, when we're creating resources for them, I think goes a long way. And it, you know, it speaks to the initiative as a whole. But I think that's really the key there. It's not, of course, we always get comments on our grief materials that, you know, we're able to have these characters. The characters are able to help families approach these big, difficult topics in an easy to understand way. That's really a big point of feedback that we get. But I think overall, it's just that they feel seen and heard. And I think as a provider, if you're working with these families, that's the key takeaway.
So what are some other initiatives? I know we've talked about, you know, like the different topics like grief and homecomings and deployment. What are some other initiatives that Sesame Street for Military Families has for, you know, the military community as a whole. And I know you mentioned one earlier, but what are some that you guys have coming up that could potentially talk about?
I don't think I can get too specific on what we're working for military families, but I just want to reiterate that we're listening. We do have some resources coming up that I think are, again, one of those difficult topics that, you know, it's just time. It's just time to talk about and time to help families address. So we are working on something I think that will be important for military families. But I definitely want to point our listeners to our sister website, SesameStreetAndCommunities.org. It's one of the other pillars in our U.S. Social Impact Department. And it's a website with many, many, like over a thousand, probably thousands of resources at this point that are available in English and Spanish that are free for all caregivers. And there are also professional development resources for providers. And it covers, you know, a variety of topics. So ABCs, 1-2-3s to things like divorce or grief or, you know, just general traumatic experiences and also daily routines and sort of runs the gamut on topics. But we also do have some military and veteran facing resources on that site. So I just didn't want people to go to SS4MF and think, not that that's all there is. There's lots there, but there's even more on SesameStreetCommunities.org. So that can be great for general parenting, having tough conversations, and also specifically for caregiving families. We have a whole course for providers who might be working with caregiving families. We have a whole course for you there and lots of resources to support young children and families who are playing a caregiving role. And then we also have a veterans topic page, which has some of our adventure resources, which are some of my favorites. But that would be another thing that I wanted to just point out to our listeners.
So how can our community stay connected with all things Sesame Street? You know, you guys have a mailing list, newsletter, social media handles.
Yes. So I would definitely recommend our Facebook page, which is at Sesame Street for Military Families. You can visit our website, SesameStreetForMilitaryFamilies.org. That other website I mentioned is SesameStreetInCommunities.org. You could also shorten to SSIC.org or SS4MF, the number 4MF.org. And I think we do actually have like a texting campaign, and we do have an email list, Sesame Street and Communities. So if you want to hop on there, create a profile, sign up for our emails, you can definitely do that. And I will have to shoot you over the texting campaign number and info, which I hope you can post along with this. So that's a growing platform for us, so we'd love to have more signups for that.
That's incredible. And yeah, we will for sure be able to share all of these great resources and links on the event page for this podcast episode. So yeah, Tara, thanks again for joining us. Congratulations again on another 15-year anniversary. Looking forward to another 15 to make it to the 30 year.
Absolutely. No doubt. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jason, for having me on and letting me share a little bit of our family story and for sharing these resources with all the providers listening. We really appreciate all the work that you all do. You know, the position that we take at Sesame is that we create the content, but we really rely on the people who are working with kids and families to get it to them and put it in their hands. So we're just really appreciative for the opportunity to share about the resources and yeah, just really thankful to you guys and our continued partnership.
Thank you.
We thank Tara for joining us for today's conversation. And we want to thank each of you as well for tuning into this episode of Anchored. This episode will actually be our last traditional episode of our Anchored podcast as we had come to know it over the last 4 years. But we encourage you to visit our website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org to stay connected with us, as well as to see all the other great podcasts that our MFLN teams have to offer and the great conversations that they are having. Once more, we encourage you to visit our website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org for more information on today's conversation, including information on obtaining CE credits, continuing education credit, and any of the links and resources mentioned in today's conversation. And even though this is our last Anchored episode as you have come to know it, You can also listen to more podcast episodes from our MFLN teams on iTunes. We would also love to hear from you, so like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter to stay connected. As we head into the new year, we have many exciting things coming, and we hope that you will be a part of that. And from all of us at MFLN, thank you for sitting back and getting anchored with us. This MFLN FD production is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award number 2019-48770-30366. Whether this is your first episode with us or your last, we thank you all for tuning into our Anchored podcast.